Let's pray together. Our gracious Father, we thank you for kids. We thank you for the song that Matthew just sang. For unto us a child is given, unto us a Savior is born. Thank you for the Christmas season and the reminder that you have come for us. Amen. Our text for this morning is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. We're going to begin reading with verse 8. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw it, they made known to them the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. 250 million dollars if you just held the right ticket yesterday. Actually, although they advertised it as being a $250 million Powerball lottery, it was actually only $249 million. Not to worry. Wednesday, you have the opportunity to win $269 million, according to the news report this morning. Nobody had the winning ticket. If you are like most Americans, you've probably at some time considered how might it change your life if you won the lottery. Think of what you could do with all that money. Think of the pastor appreciation gift you could give. One lady bought a lottery ticket, and she won. But her husband had a weak heart, and she was worried about telling him for fear that it would lead to a heart attack, because she actually loved her husband. So she talked with her pastor and asked for his input. And the pastor suggested that he come over and strike up a conversation with her husband and get around to the idea that there's this huge lottery, you know, and what would he do if he came into these newfound riches? So sitting in their living room, the pastor broached the topic and wondered, "What would you do if you won the lottery?" The man said without hesitation, "I would give half of it to the church." And immediately the pastor had a heart attack. Good news can shock you. It can scare you. It can change your life. The shepherds hadn't won the lottery. They didn't get newfound riches. But they had these angels come and talk to them. And that's pretty dramatic. They met an angel who brought them good news of great joy to all the people, and then a whole host of the heavenly beasts were heavenly beasts. A whole host of the heavenly host. That was the word I lost. It was something clicked. I wonder what was going on with the sound system. A whole host of the heavenly angels came, and they. We always think they sang, and the Bible says they said, but I'm guessing when an angel says something, it sounds like singing, at least when it's good news. These men on the side of the hill, the sheep in the background, the angels and the bright light, and they hear this good news of great joy better than winning the lottery. It moved them to action. They set a pattern for those who have heard the good news of great joy. Three things which we should do that the shepherds did. First, we should confirm the news. Maybe the shepherds were from Missouri. There's nothing wrong with Missouri, but it's the show me state. So an angel comes and they say, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's confirm this good news. The older texts say, let us go straight to Bethlehem. Every time I hear that, I think, was there a wandering road to Bethlehem? You know, we're going to go straight there. As the crow flies, I'm guessing they meant, let's go quickly. Let's make haste. Let's go to Bethlehem. Now, they didn't have to do that. It was, after all, probably in the middle of the night. They could have stayed there in the fields. They had a job to do. They were busy men, and it was a long, tired walk to Bethlehem, no matter how short the walk was. It was in the middle of the night. And I've actually worked the graveyard shift. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, you don't want to walk anywhere. You're dragging. You're tired. But these guys, the angels, shocked them from whatever they were doing, and they said, let's go and see this baby. Which brings me to another idea. Did they really want to go see a baby? I mean, these are men, right? And as all men know, babies are women's thing. Women love babies. It doesn't matter how ugly that baby is. Women love babies. Men look at a baby and say, whoa, man, who is that dad? And then they go, oh, man, I got to hold that thing? These shepherds. There's a baby born in Bethlehem. Okay. Maybe we'll read about it tomorrow in the Bethlehem Gazette. That's good enough. Newborn baby? And one of them says, hey, I'll bet Joseph's got a video camera. He took videos. We can just watch the video. Gross. These guys, there's a baby born in Bethlehem. Guys, let's go. Guys, we got to go back to town. One of them probably said, who's going to watch the sheep? I said, who cares? Let's go see this baby. Let's confirm what the angels have to say. By the way, that's not a bad idea. No matter who says something to you, you should confirm it. Even if it's an angel, because you know what? The devil lurks around and he will impersonate an angel. Confirm the good news. They say, let's see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They left for Bethlehem with one purpose, to confirm the good news that they had heard, to see Jesus. To see Jesus. I believe this is a challenge that our world faces today. It seems to be more and more difficult to actually see Jesus. More and more difficult to see his representatives as actually representing him well. We get distracted from seeking the good news. We leave for church and we think about what we'll do and who we'll talk to and what we will share happened in our lives since we last gathered together. But the reason we come to church is as important as fellowship is, and you know that I believe fellowship is very important, but as important as that is, church without Christ is just a social club. We don't actually come to church to see one another. Our primary reason to come to church is to see Christ. When we go to church wanting to catch up with the good news of one another, rather than the good news of Jesus, we have missed the reason for the gathering. The shepherds heard the good news of great joy, and it gave them a purpose to go and see Jesus, to confirm the good news. When I go to church, when I'm visiting a church, I like to hear good music. I like to participate in good music. I like to hear a good sermon. I like to rub shoulders with people and talk to them. But I always think when I leave, did I meet Jesus today? But that's the reason I go to church. Amen. And it's what we want to give you as a congregation. We want to give you the opportunity to see Christ. The shepherds won't go to see the baby born as a Savior, Christ the Lord. And I submit to you that seeing Jesus ought to be a priority for our Christmas celebrations. We ought to pause and look for Christ. It's easy to get tied up into the trappings of Christmas. Some of the best meals I remember eating, or some of the best fellowship, happen at Christmas. And they reflect on the joy of the original Christmas gift. Christmas is a special day. But it is not so special if we fail to see Jesus. The shepherds, after hearing the angels, found a purpose. Let's confirm this. Let's go see Jesus. Let's confirm the good news. Think for a moment. How different our life would be. How much conflict would dissolve in our lives if we all gathered with one purpose: to see Jesus. Suddenly, little things don't matter that much. The crooked J doesn't matter. Some of you didn't notice it was crooked, but I put it up there, and it's been bugging me all week because I couldn't fix it. But the crooked J is meaningless if we don't see Jesus. We've got to see Jesus. The shepherds, after hearing the angels, go to confirm the good news. If you're looking for Jesus with an intensity and a determination such as reflected in the words of these shepherds, then most other things don't matter that much. If you're determined to see Jesus, then the stink of the world doesn't bother us much. When I pastored in northern Wisconsin, my first church was in a dairy community, if you could call it a community, where there were like 8 of us in the community. There were lots of dairy farms, and a number of the people in my congregation were dairy farmers. I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago. I got milk the old-fashioned way from a jug at the grocery store. They got milk the real old-fashioned way, in an utterly disgusting way. They milked those cows. And when I would go visit them, they would often be in their barns. I don't have a particularly good sense of smell, which was fortunate. These men in their barns, milking their cows, cleaning the stalls, fixing equipment, even with a bad sense of smell, dairy barns stink. They really stink. Some of them stink worse than others. And I discovered that when I spent any time in a dairy barn, I stunk. Some said that didn't change anything, but it was a different smell. The interesting thing was, though, when I went to those barns, I never really noticed the stink that much. After the first couple of times, it was just, that's the way it is. I was focused on seeing the person who owned the barn. The smell didn't matter. And I believe that's the way it is with the shepherds. They're so busy looking for Jesus, concentrating upon Him, they didn't notice the surroundings as they basked in the presence of God incarnate. They came to see Jesus. Christmas is good news. Confirm the good news and look for Jesus. God has made Himself available to mankind. He's not playing hide and seek. He's not hoping you won't find Him. He is revealing Himself to the world all the time. Even today, Look for Jesus and find joy. The second step to take after hearing good news of great joy is to communicate it to others. Look at verse 17 of our text. When they saw it, the baby, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. When they got to Bethlehem, they discovered things were just as the angel had said they would be. They wasted no time. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby. They confirmed the good news, and then they started talking about it. They told others about it. They communicated with others about the message of joy. They responded to the message of joy by telling others about Jesus. Something this great ought to be shared. Something this fantastic ought to be proclaimed. I remember one year when my brother and I were in college, we both went to the same college, and at the time we were both living at home. And he came home one day and he had that dumb look on his face that guys get. He said, "I think I'm mildly infatuated." He's been mildly infatuated with that woman for the last 40 years. He couldn't help himself. Even if you never do anything to communicate the good news about Christ at any other time of the year, do so at Christmas. Send a Christmas card with a gospel message. Enough of Charlie Brown or the Grinch. Let's give a message of Christ. A nativity scene, reminding others and ourselves about the focus of Christmas. Sing the Christmas carols, even if you don't know all the words and you sing the tunes kind of messed up. Sing about Jesus and the wonder of it all. It is a season when sharing what we know about Christ can happen almost without cost. A recent survey suggested that in a trend which is opposite to what has been happening over the last few years, more and more people are willing to have you say Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays. Somehow they want to reintroduce Christ into Christmas. Through such deeds, we plant seeds. Maybe we add a little fertilizer or water to the seeds that someone else has planted. And perhaps someone will come to a saving knowledge of Christ through our expression of the gospel message, through a little invitation, say, "Come to our Christmas Eve service." This is a shameless plug. Come to our Christmas Eve service. In the Christmas Eve service, we will read the Christmas story, the texts which are so often forgotten at Christmas, that we will put together and we'll read the narrative of the birth of Christ. We will focus upon His Word and His coming. And you know, if you invite a friend, bring them here, you can offer, say, "Hey, let's go to a Christmas Eve service and go out for hot chocolate afterwards," or go to hot chocolate first and then go to Christmas Eve service, because you know they're going to hear the gospel story. Good news of great joy. Christ has come. It wasn't enough for the shepherds to confirm what the angel had said to them. It wasn't enough for them to say, "Ah, that's true." They were compelled to communicate the message to others. But the lesson we learn from them doesn't stop there. After they had gone to see the child, after they had told others what they knew, the scripture tells us that they went back glorifying and praising God. Confirm what is said, communicate to others, and then spend some time celebrating. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as had been told them. When you've seen Christ, when you have told others about Him, your life has changed. There's something that clicks, that brings you back into fellowship with God, and it ought to never go back to the same old grind. Sure, the shepherds continued to be shepherds. They didn't suddenly lay down everything in their lives and their past to enter full-time Christian ministry. They went back to work. glorifying God and praising Him. They went to the same old job, the same smelly sheep, the same long hours, the same cold night, but they went back different people. They were changed because they had seen Christ. They had seen the Lamb of God, and they understood that life would never be the same. They had experienced the awe of hearing an angel choir. They had looked into the eyes of Christ. And they had undoubtedly experienced a peace beyond all understanding. So their lives couldn't be the same. God, who had been silent for so long, had come in the flesh. I imagine that they searched their minds for passages of Scripture they were expected to memorize as children. Perhaps one would start with Isaiah. I just imagine the shepherds kind of walking with this dreamy expression and sense of awe that carries on. And one says, you know, I remember Isaiah wrote, "Behold, a virgin will be with child and will bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel, God with us." We have just seen God incarnate. We have seen Emmanuel, the Messiah, the Savior. Another would strike up and say, Isaiah said also, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light, for a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." And another would kind of smile and say, "Hey, you remember that other prophet? What was his name? Micah. You remember what Micah said? As for you, Bethlehem, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler of Israel. This is the ruler of Israel." That's what the angel said. And they praised God. And they glorified God. It is interesting that Luke was inspired to use these two terms because they imply different things. First, they praised God. They lifted up His name. They said good things about Him. Praise is the kind of thing that you can do for people around you, like your boss or your kid or your wife. You know, my boss is really good to work for. He just does some really great stuff. You know, my son's boss transferred him to Denver so he could get his treatment there. That's incredible. I want to just recommend Fast Enterprises because they are a really great company. You know, I was taking a shower this morning. You don't need no visual image, please. And I noticed something that the bar of soap is disappearing. It happens with soap. And I was thinking about how in my 36 and a half years of marriage, we had this miraculous thing about soap. Whenever the bar of soap dissolves completely, a new one appears. I have the most loving and incredible wife. She just does stuff like that. I don't even think about it. That's praise. You know, I have a son, a youngest son, who's following in the footsteps of five monsters, five people whose shadow is so unbelievable that I wouldn't want to have to live in their shadow. You know, his oldest brother, valedictorian, gets great scholarship to go to school. And then, you know, when you get to the last, you know, the next two, all straight-A students get great scholarships. You know, Timothy gets a great scholarship, scores great on his ACT. And Timothy goes and makes All-State Orchestra 2 years. And then Amanda comes along and she makes All-State 3 years and she sits first chair. How would you like to follow in those footsteps? And Matthew comes along and he won up them, made the honor orchestra for 4 years, and he's on his third year of All-State Orchestra, but he still lives in that shadow. And you know what? He's still an incredible guy. And And he sings on Sunday morning, and in 2 weeks, if he still is up for it, he's going to preach. Heck, it is unbelievable. I am so proud of you, Matthew. You can be proud of him too. That, my friends, is praise. You can do it for your kids, you can do it for your spouse, you can do it for your parents, you can do it for your boss, you can do it for your church. That's praise. And the shepherds walked along and they praised God and said, "He's wonderful. Look at what he's done. He sent angels to talk to us. He has fulfilled prophecy. He is incredible. I love this God." But then the scripture says he did more than that. They gave glory. And there is a dramatic difference between praising God and giving Him glory. They weren't content merely to vocalize praise of a great God was, but they gave Him glory. And the implication of glory is that it is not given so much by what we say as by what we do. We give glory to God not by what we say, but by what we do. We glorify God in worship, in word, and in action. We glorify God when our lives are changed and our everyday living is different and it reflects the character of God. It's not that we become perfect when we see Jesus, but we have raised the standard of our life. Because now our life must reflect the good news of great joy which has come, not just vaguely to all people, but the good news of great joy has come to us. It has come to me, and because of that, my life must be different, and then I will give God glory. When that joy touches us, when we confirm its reality, when we talk about it, we celebrate it. And that is one of the driving forces behind the celebration of Christmas. Joy has come to us, and we are changed because of it. The shepherds, they get this incredible message with an angel that they recognize as an angel, and then there's a whole host of the heavenly beings there with them saying, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth." And they go and tell people about it, and then they go back changed. They go back celebrating, praising Him, and living a changed life. This Christmas, when you hear the good news of great joy, confirm the fact. Read through the scripture, evaluate it, test it for yourself, and you'll find that what's written in here is true. And then you won't be able to help yourself. Talk to others about it. And make sure in your Christmas celebration, you celebrate and give Him glory by living a life which reflects who He is. Let's pray. Our gracious and almighty Father, we thank You for the gift of Christmas, for the result of joy that we see in the shepherds. Cause us to respond to the message of joy in a similar way. Amen.